Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast pre-wrap, I guess is what you call that, right, Chuck?
Sure.
Prologue?
Forward?
That's a good one. Prologue.
Yeah.
I'm Josh, and that's Chuck, and we are introducing a live podcast that we recorded in San Diego just a little while ago. What, July 12th, I think?
I don't remember.
I believe it was the 12th of July.
It was great fun, though.
At Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal. There were people who waited in line to get in. Some of those very people didn't get in, turned away to see us.
I know. That was weird.
All those people, we're sorry.
Yeah, and for the people that came that weren't fans of the show, and if you happen to be listening now, then welcome, and thank you for coming just out of interest. That was pretty weird, you know, to see people there like, I don't know who these guys are, but it sounds interesting.
Those were the 300 people who had their arms crossed in front of their chests, yeah, expectantly, and then disappointed. So we're going to just kind of get into this. If anything seems out of place or you're freaked out by people laughing, just remember it's a recording of a live podcast. Jerry did a great job recording it. And, so here's us doing time travel at Comic-Con 2012. For those of you who don't know, we have a podcast called Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah.
It's on a website called HowStuffWorks.com. Our beloved website.
Yep.
And pretty soon we are going to be on the Science Channel too in January 2013, right?
That's right.
Okay.
All right, time travel?
Yeah, let's do time travel. Everybody ready to learn a little bit about time travel? We're just going to do our thing. We're recording this live. Everybody say hi to everybody who's not here.
And for fans of the show, we have our producer Jerry is actually here. She exists.
Jerry, say hi.
Jerry, if you want to say hi.
Yay, Jerry.
All right, brass tacks.
Jerry, did you press record yet? Okay, so we are recording, kid.
Yeah.
All right, so Chuck.
Josh.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Andrew Basagio?
I never know what to say here because I do, but should I say no?
Just say maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about this guy.
All right.
He's a Seattle attorney.
Oh, I know this guy.
Okay. And ever since 2004, he's been talking publicly about how he was part of something that he says was called Project Pegasus, which was supposedly a DARPA initiative for time travel.
Yeah, the U.S. government was using children because apparently children were specifically suited for time travel, which I didn't know, more so than adults.
We should say that this guy's the only source for this information.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a big qualifier.
Very much.
So he does have a pretty good story. Like throughout the 70s, from age 7 to 12, he did a lot of Lincoln assignments, I guess. He traveled to Gettysburg at one point where he was captured in a famous Josephine Cobb photograph.
Supposedly.
And I went and looked, and I mean, it could be him. It's a really blurry photograph.
There was a guy in the picture.
There were several guys.
Yeah.
But it was from 1863, so
They
didn't know what they were doing back then. And then he also traveled to Ford's Theater several times,
where at one point he ran into another version of himself from another time that had traveled back there for that same night. The Lincoln assassination, by the way. So, and all of this, by the way, was based on technology that was made from schematics found among the personal effects of Nikola Tesla.
That's right.
Who died in New York in 1943.
Who knew?
So supposedly the U.S. government ransacked his apartment, came up with this, built these time portals. Now, far be it from me to cast aspersions on another person's story. Chuck and my motto is to each his own.
Always.
Yes. We should like clink swords when we say
I
that.
I know.
But I would buy this guy's story a little more if he said that he was traveling to the future. Because after researching for this presentation, doing a little bit of time travel research, I found that there are a lot of bona fide, legitimate physicists, cosmologists, who say that, yes, it is entirely possible to travel to the future.
Yeah.
And we kind of do it every day.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It's just, yeah, it's true. Do you want to talk about it now?
Yeah, you know, Josh, there's an old joke in the scientific community, in the time travel community, about a, let me see if I get this right,
okay.
About an immigrant who comes to the United States,
right.
Ellis Island, I imagine, and he lost his watch. It's really sad. And he goes up to a scientist and he says, please, what is time? I don't know what country that is.
That's a general, maybe European accent.
Okay, he's European. Good. And the scientist replies, I'm sorry, you'll have to ask a philosopher. I'm just a physicist. Kind of a silly joke.
It's a good time travel.
Scientists
love smart
that
joke, everybody.
This kills at in lab rooms. But it is a silly joke, but it really gets to the heart of the matter. When you're talking time travel, it is very much a philosophical question, and it is if time flows like a river, like some people think, in one direction, the question is, can you stop that flow? Can you reverse that flow? Can you go back in time? Or can you speed up the flow and go forward in time?
That's kind of the question.
Yeah.
I find it heartening to see like physicists and philosophers getting along, having a beer, talking about time travel,
sure.
Having their brains melt together. You were talking about time flowing like a river.
Yeah.
Can I talk about my boy Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, sure.
Do we have any Hawking fans in here? Same here. I love that guy.
That's Josh's boy.
He's my Hawking is my homeboy. Stephen Hawking was talking about how he wrote this really great article or essay or whatever you want to call it for the Daily Mail of all people about time travel. And in it, he talks about time as a river. And he says, very poetically, it's like a river because it flows in one direction, you know, and we're all just kind of going along with it. But it's also a bit like a river in that in different spots, it travels at different speeds.
True.
And if we can figure out how to exploit those different spots, then we can get to, like, the brass tacks of time travel.
Yeah, Hawking basically thinks you can travel into the future. All you have to go is really, 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 really fast.
Right.
And we're talking, I think the stat is the fastest thing ever was Apollo 10?
Yeah, Apollo 10.
25,000 miles an hour. Pretty fast.
That's very, very fast.
If you want to time travel, Hawking says, you need to go 2,000 times faster than that.
Okay.
So that's really fast.
May I interject something?
Sure.
I actually did the math, and Hawking got his math wrong.
No way.
From what he goes on to say, that you need to get very close to the speed of light,
yeah.
90%, 99%.
Sure.
You'd have to go like 20,000 times more. Not 2,000. So
you
I've corrected Stephen Hawking.
That's pretty good.
And his math. And I hope he doesn't hear this because there will be a smackdown afterward, I'm sure. He'll be like, oh, you know math, huh?
Well, and one of the big problems with going that fast is fuel. In order to go that fast, you need a humongous ship that can carry fuel enough to travel, I think he said, 6 years, like ramping it up speed-wise.
Right.
And that's not very likely, at least anytime soon.
You would need this huge ship to go toward the speed of light, accelerating constantly for 6 years, and then in like the fourth year, you'd start to time travel. Because you'd hit like 90% the speed of light,
sure.
Which is like 600 million miles an hour. It's pretty fast. And then I think at that point, time goes an hour on the ship equals 2 hours back on Earth.
Yeah.
So you're starting to travel into the future relative to the Earth, right?
Yeah.
Then after another 2 years, you get to like 99% the speed of light, which is like 660 miles.
That's when things
miles
are really happening.
That's when like a day. Is it a day?
I think it's a day.
A day on the ship equals like a year on Earth, which, okay, then that's time travel. That's very, very fast. And if you turned around and went back to Earth, you could be like, check me out. I'm from the past. Because, really, this is another thing I figured out from researching this, is time travel is really, it doesn't matter if you don't have anyone to show it off to.
Yeah.
Like, you can go travel out in outer space as long as you want and live forever, but if no one's there to see it, who cares, you know?
If a tree falls in the woods, that kind of thing.
Exactly. The philosophers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
Are we at Carl Sagan, or?
Yeah.
Okay. That's always a great question to ask. Are we at Carl Sagan? So Carl Sagan, who's my homeboy, has a viewpoint that sort of body slams the skeptics of the world. And I know there are skeptics, and skeptics like to unite and tell people things a lot with great vigor. But I am not one. I've always been more of a Mulder than a Scully.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's nice.
And yeah, thank you for that. And here's what Carl Sagan has to say, because basically what skeptics say is, well, if you can time travel, then why aren't we always visited by time travelers all the time?
Hold on. That's Chuck Skeptic.
Yeah, that's what skeptics sound like. I think we just had a skeptic leave the room. They're offended. Dunning, he's gone. So Carl Sagan has this to say about it. I'm going to read it because I cannot summarize it any better than he says it. He says, first of all, it might be that you can build a time machine to go into the future, but not into the past. And we don't know about it because we haven't yet invented that time machine. Little brain melting, but it makes sense. Secondly, it might be that time travel into the past is possible, but they haven't gotten to our time yet. They're just really far into the future, and the further back in time you go, the more expensive it is. I'm a little bit like,
a little
don't bring economics into it.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, maybe backward time travel is possible, but only up to the moment that time travel is invented. So we haven't invented it yet, so it can't come to us.
We are S-O-L far as time travel.
So that is like, yeah, you need to be drinking something to understand that.
No, not really, not really. He's just saying, like, maybe there's like a, like you just can't go back beyond the point where time travel is invented.
Well, that feels silly.
He's just being a rabble-rouser.
And the final thing he says is there's a possibility that time travel is really perfectly possible, but it requires such a great advance in our technology that the human civilization will destroy itself before they can invent it.
That's the gloom and doom one.
Exactly.
But and Sagan's raising all these points to say, like, you know, if somebody's saying, if time travel is possible, where are all the time travelers? And he's saying, hey, man, keep an open mind. That's what he used to say.
And put on this turtleneck.
Right. Let's all just wear turtlenecks. Yeah. Everyone will mellow out, you know, like Carl Sagan. Oh, and there was one other thing about Hawking's view. He made a good point where if you aren't a show-off and you don't need to time travel just to impress your friends in the future, you could use this same ship that's going super, super fast toward the speed of light to just go to other parts of the Milky Way. It would come in handy very much for these long-distance trips, right? So say you wanted to make it to the Orion Nebula. You could do this several thousand...
Josh and Chuck, come in.
Hold on.
What is that? Come in.
Did you hear something?
Josh and Chuck, come in. This is time pilot John Hodgman speaking to you from the future.
Oh, it's Hodgman. Hey, Hodgman. Hey, there you are. What's
2012.
Going on? Hey, Hodgie. Can you hear me?
Actually, you probably shouldn't be talking to me because I can't hear you. This is a time message. It only goes in one direction backwards. And I'm not even sure that I reached you. It all depends on if I got the time coordinates correct. Time coordinates, by the way, are just latitude and longitude and altitude and... time. But listen, Josh and Chuck, if you're getting this message, I need you to do something. Things have gone horribly wrong in this time stream, and it's all because of something that happens at Comic-Con 2012 that you are intimately involved with. Basically, you piss off Joss Whedon because you don't recognize him. So I urge you, look at a picture of Joss Whedon and don't piss him off, because if you do, he gets so angry and he hates podcasts and then he becomes a dictator and stops making movies. But if you recognize him, I guarantee you he will make another season of Firefly. Also, Josh and Chuck, that person in the Wookiee costume is not a Wookiee. Okay, well, I hope that fixes everything. It's really not good here in the future, so I hope you can fix it. I also hope that this message went to my time stream in the past and didn't get booted off to another multiverse. In which case, if this is reaching you in a different multiverse, watch out for the floating ghostly piranha. They will eat your face off. All right, I've got to go. That's all the time I have, so to speak. Time pilot John Hodgman from Unnamed Future signing off. Goodbye.
Hey. Wow. What a guy. He is always looking out for us.
You never know when future John Hodgman is going to pop in.
Does anyone know what Joss Whedon looks like? Okay.
Is he in
we
here?
Need a picture later.
He's not okay. Here. Is anyone going to the Firefly panel?
Oh, yeah.
You better go get in line right after this.
Wow. Well, that was a...
Yeah. What should we do now?
Sequitur?
Should we talk about methods of time travel, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, if you're talking time travel, which we are, there are two directions you can go. You can go into the future, or you can go into the past. I'm a past guy. I've always liked to see the Old West.
I knew you were going to say Old West.
Well, I just want to be a gunslinger.
Do you?
Yeah.
And wear fringy leather stuff.
That's right. But if you want to advance into the future, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to exploit space-time, which isn't the easiest thing in the world, but it's possible. It actually happens every day up in the sky with GPS satellites. I don't know. That guy's nodding. He knows. But many of you may not know that these satellites actually accrue an extra third of a billionth of a second every day. Doesn't sound like much. But it's time travel, and it's kind of cool.
And it adds up.
And the reason this happens is time passes faster in orbit down here on Earth. Basically, Earth is like a big dopey St. Bernard, like dragging on time. And all the mass on Earth is just slowing down time in little tiny increments. Out there in deep space, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's called gravitational time dilation.
Yeah.
And it's a real thing. And we observe this all the time. Scientists do. Astronomers do. When they see light in deep space. They'll see light moving in a straight line, and if it gets close enough to a sufficiently large object, like, say, Sagittarius A,
which has
the mass of 4 million suns, time will actually bend, and they see this, and it's called the gravitational lensing effect.
Right.
So if you were to, let's say, travel to Sagittarius A and circle it, this black hole, and if you don't fall in, which would be bad. Actually, it might be pretty cool. You
know, no, it'd be really
would
bad.
It be bad?
There's a word for it, like what happens to you.
SOL?
No, kind of.
Okay.
It's called spaghettification.
Oh.
Like the infinite density of the center of a black hole just thins you out into a spaghetti version of yourself that is not alive anymore.
I could use that, actually.
Yeah.
It'd be a good look. So if you were to be able to circle Sagittarius A for a little while... without falling in, you would experience time at half the rate on Earth, which is time travel.
Again, and you come back to Earth and you show off for everybody.
Yeah, and that's basically the center of this Sagittarius A is a really super dense point. It's called a singularity, but don't confuse that with the singularity. Two very different things.
That's another big future problem.
Yeah, we'd all be in big trouble if the singularity happened.
Can I throw out some of my favorite
please.
Universal cosmic anomalies?
Yes.
So... Chuck was talking about a black hole. One of my favorites is called a Kerr ring or a Kerr ring. We can't figure out how you say it. Honestly, we looked. We really looked. So probably for the rest of the time when I say it, I'm going to say Kerr ring or Kerr ring, okay?
Sure.
Okay. And basically, this is like a black hole that forms from a lot of neutron stars that have collapsed. And neutron stars are about the size of Manhattan, but they have like the mass of our sun. So they're super dense.
Yeah.
And a bunch of them will form into this ring that kind of turns into this whirlpool. And because of the centrifugal force of these things, a singularity doesn't form. Hence, spaghettification doesn't befall you when you go through the center of these things.
That's right.
But it's still a black hole, right?
Yeah.
They think that if you go through, though, it's a one-way ticket because probably on the other side is what's called a white hole.
Yep.
Which is the opposite of a black hole, and it pushes light and matter out away from it, so there's no way of getting back. But it's still possible that you can travel through time, at the very least to another part of space.
Yeah.
Right?
So
you want me to tell you about another one?
Well, this next one is my favorite.
Oh, the Einstein-Rosen Bridge.
That's right.
Which, yes.
Wow, that got applause.
Yeah. And here comes the rest, also known as a wormhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everyone calls it a wormhole because, like... You couldn't have a TV show called Through the Einstein-Rosen Bridge with Morgan Freeman. I guess you could, but Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman is, like, catchy.
Right.
It's sexy.
It is. Very sexy. Super sexy. So an Einstein-Rosenbridge or a wormhole, it's kind of actually easy to grasp. If you consider time or space, space-time, as like a flat sheet that you folded in half and you left some space in between, right?
You
and
actually then, have a sheet if you want to demonstrate.
To you, I like this.
Oh, okay.
And then gravity's pushing toward the center, toward this empty space in the middle. So if you have the sheet like that and you put like a baseball on either side, these depressions are going to form that are kind of akin to the bending of time. Time dilation, gravitational time dilation?
Yep, same thing.
And if the depressions that they form connect, you got a wormhole.
Boom.
Yeah, and you may be able to travel through this. No one knows for certain, but it's just kind of like the physicists are at the point now where they're like, oh, and there's also this other weird thing, and maybe you can travel through time and that.
Is that what they say?
That's kind of what they say. But, so Chuck is an Old West kind of time travel guy. I like time travel of the past, too. I tend to think that time travel of the future is the one we're going to accomplish first.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But the reason most physicists poo-poo the idea of traveling back in time is because paradoxes arise.
Yeah.
And when a paradox arises, usually that means, like, the point is moot. Like, you can't argue it any further with a learned person.
Yeah, this is a point where we talk about something called causality. And everything we know here on planet Earth, as I say, is based on, in a time sense, is based on cause and effect.
Right.
And it's a one-way street. Something happens first, and that leads to something that happens after. You can't have something, you can't have an effect without the cause.
Right.
And it's a one-way street going then in that direction, cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect.
Right.
That's causality.
And you have one of the big, great, famous paradoxes is the grandfather paradox, right?
The saddest of all paradoxes.
Which it kind of demonstrates. Yeah, this bums Chuck out because the grandfather is like, it's like, what did the grandfather do, you know? But say that you went back to kill your grandfather, right? You're an assassin. Maybe you'll do anything for money.
A looper, if you will.
And you go back and you walk up to your grandfather and you shoot him and kill him dead. But this is the version of your grandfather before he's conceived your father. Therefore, you can't possibly exist. Therefore, how could you get back to time travel in the first place to kill yourself?
Yeah, that's so sad.
It is sad. It's
but
also
you know what's even sadder?
What?
The grandmother paradox. That's where you go back and they couldn't call it that. They tried it and they were like, go back and kill your grandmother? Are you serious? They're like, can you just call a grandfather at least? Because maybe he hit you once or something. Exactly. You know?
At the very least, he made you mow the lawn for a nickel or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Grandmother just coddles you and feeds you chicken and pie.
Sure.
Or at least mine did.
You miss Granny Bryant, don't you?
I do. Although she lived to be 100.
I know. That's a ripe old age. Yeah. That is a ripe old age.
That's called a sidebar.
There's also, so that's an inconsistent causal loop, right?
Yeah.
My favorite is the consistent causal loop.
Yeah, this is pretty cool because it's paradox-free, which means it could actually happen. And there's a physicist named Paul Davies who describes it like this. Let's say a math professor travels into the future and steals this really valuable math theorem. Then he goes back to the past, mm-hmm. and he gives that theorem to a student, and that student ends up growing up to be the very person he stole it from. Everyone's going, oh.
Pretty awesome.
No one dies, paradox-free.
Right. My favorite example of this, though, is, we have a special guest here named Brian who's going to help us with this.
Brian, come on up here.
Brian, everybody give Brian a round of applause. So this is Brian. He's going to read to us an example, an explanation of probably the coolest example of a consistent causal loop.
Yeah.
So, Brian, will you take it away?
Sure. Probably the best demonstration of a consistent causal loop is found in the film Back to the Future. Toward the end of the movie, Marty McFly performs Johnny B. Goode on his guitar during the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. His playing catches the attention of one Marvin Berry, cousin of the famed musician Chuck Berry. His interest piqued, Marvin calls Chuck Berry to alert him to this unusual sound, which prompts, we must assume, Chuck Berry to write and record Johnny B. Goode. But since he is from the future, we must assume that Marty McFly learned to play the song Johnny B. Goode in his own time, based on the song recorded by Chuck Berry years in the past. This is impossible, however, because it was Marty McFly's performance of Johnny B. Goode that prompted its creation. This paradox, where the origination of a thing comes as the result of time travel, violates the law of causality, a truly important law indeed. It's true that we could have also cited the pocket watch in the Christopher Reeve movie Somewhere in Time as an example, but Back to the Future was a way better movie.
Yeah.
All right, Brian.
Thank you very much, Brian. Nicely done. Thank you.
Well done, sir. And then the final possibility is my favorite one, which is many worlds, parallel universes. You can time. I saw some head nods. People love that one because you can time travel all over the place, man.
Yeah.
And you're just creating separate timelines, and you're in many different sandboxes, and it just doesn't even matter.
Right. Because if you go back and kill your grandfather in another version of the universe where you weren't born, who cares?
Who cares, man? Because I'll just go in another timeline.
Do you? Why are you talking like that?
Because that's what the hippies like, man. That's the many worlds here.
I got you. Do you want to summate?
I guess in summation, you know, we certainly don't know if it's for sure possible, but I think it's important to ask these questions. You know, if people like Stephen Hawking and Carl Sagan and 6th-century philosophers are talking about slowing down time and speeding up time, then it's worthwhile to me.
Agreed. And that's that is our presentation on time travel.
Thanks. So I think we're about out of time, unless we have a few minutes for Q&A. Do we? One question?
Let's do one question. Let's do two questions.
Yeah.
You had your hand up
There's
first.
A microphone right there.
Nice. Rock it.
Have either of you ever wanted to be on Celebrity Jeopardy so you could just smoke them?
Thank you.
I would love to be on Jeopardy. I don't know if we qualify for Celebrity Jeopardy yet.
Maybe college.
But I used to sit around in college all the time and play with my roommates and did pretty well,
yeah.
I thought.
I think that the X factor is whether or not you freeze on TV. So
yeah.
One more?
One more?
Bam.
In the hat in the back?
Hat?
Baseball hat? He just...
Yeah, you.
Yeah, yeah.
No? You forgot.
Hello.
Hi.
Question, are you guys going to, like, do books? Like, you know how you had the little books and all this stuff? Are you going to, like, release those eventually? Or do you plan on it?
That's a great idea.
We have 2 audio books, which are like books, but they're way easier than regular books. we've definitely talked about that before. Like, we're still trying to figure out what the idea would be behind it. But, yes, we're definitely not opposed to that. So look for it in, like, 2015, maybe.
Yes, we could all time travel there right now.
Exactly. So let's see. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet to us on SYSK Podcast. You can visit us on Facebook.com. And you can always send us a good old-fashioned email by wrapping it up, spanking it on the bottom, and sending it off to StuffPodcast@Discovery.com.
Thanks. Have a good
Comic-Con. Thank you very much, everybody.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.